Nelson's absent friends. We would not be here without you guys. Thank you to Kelly with Naughty by Moonlight back there, our vendor. Woo-hoo! If you need any last minute holiday items, check out her table. We also have Katie Long Artist back there. Kelly is selling for her too. And they are both our sponsors for the night as well. So they both donated some prizes for our holiday costume contest. Laura showed up, the one who just got an introduction. So it's probably gonna be Laura, but we'll see. And we're also gonna do a horror trivia like we always do. We have a lot of good prizes for that. And around all that fun stuff, we're going to have a couple fun themed podcast episodes for you. So we are excited to get going. Thank you guys for coming. I think that's it. Unless, should we do announcements at the beginning? Because everyone sneaks out at the end. And then I feel bad because we didn't advertise anyone else. So real quick, Spooky Empire is going to be back in 2025 here in Charleston. I know. We finally saw a graphic that says 2025 Charleston, and I was like, it's real! I was waiting for that. So I'm waiting to hear back from the team to see when we can start advertising. But everybody, if y'all like conventions, horror, just being a part of a family, I mean, we're going to try to set up everywhere all over Charleston up until the con. So punk flea markets, farmers markets, wherever we can go, we're going to go set up because we need to double attendance this year. So that's my challenge for you guys. If we want to have Spooky back every year in Charleston, we've got to help them grow. So we'll be relying a lot on you guys, so stay tuned. Charleston Society of Horror. We have a horror book club right here in Charleston, guys. So please join. They're reading Snow this month, and they're doing a virtual book club meeting on the 27th. Charleston's Absent Friends, we're doing SpongeBob January 3rd. So SpongeBob Rocky Horror Picture Show. It is a theme show. Southern Screams, we love them. They have, what, two more nights? Holy City Christmas is going on. So two more nights. You can check that out. We've already talked about Naughty by Moonlight and Katie Long Artist, but Katie also has a horror blog called Charleston Terrify. So if you want to figure out the horror stuff here in Charleston, that's where to check it out. And then join the MTP Facebook group. Stay in touch on our socials. And then we're going to announce, we're going to work with Frothy and try to get the whole year, honestly, which I just realized I haven't even talked to Kevin about this yet. But just so you know, Kelly and I, let's have a business meeting real quick, just in the middle of an event. But no, Kelly and I, we had a meeting earlier about vendors, and we were like, well, why don't we go ahead and try to set the whole show schedule for next year for live events so you guys can plan around them, get excited. And get the word out more. So
absolutely.
So hopefully we'll have not just the next event, but all of next year's events posted here in the next month or so. So stay tuned for that. And that's announcement. So I say we can dive into episode number one. And we're going classic MTP tonight, guys. We wanted to close out this year by doing two classic episodes. So we're going to do our tier maker and we're doing our bracket war. And then we're going to go into 2025. Kevin and I are going to come up with a new format, kind of like our camp episode we did. So the first show in 2025 is going to be totally new. So stay tuned. And let's close out the year with some faves.
Woo-hoo! I just realized in my head this is show number 7 that we've done with Frothy, if you can believe it.
And it all started with Leprechaun. I can't do that again, Kevin. I can't watch every single Leprechaun movie in 2 weeks again.
No.
I really can't.
I can't do it either.
Unless it's like a game, either a drinking game or gummies. Whatever you do, whatever you choose, your poison.
Is it drink every time he makes a rhyme?
Yeah, or take a pinch of a gummy off.
Ooh, the pinch of a gummy sounds nice.
A little pinch of a gummy,
yeah.
I just want to take a nice St. Patrick's Day.
That's dangerous.
I need a piece of my gummy.
Yeah. Here we go.
That's
okay. Let's focus on winter. Come back to reality and let's start episode one.
Before we get started with episode one, just a quick little announcement from Frothy. We do have all the brewing tanks and everything around there. Try your best to keep your distance from those and not lean on them or anything like that. We want them to continue making wonderful beers that we all enjoy. So just a quick reminder about that. And here's episode one. And the theme tonight is winter/holiday horror. We initially talked about doing this as just holiday horror because we're right around the corner from Christmas, but we realized that quickly.
Shit, really?
Yeah, right?
Sorry.
Sorry if I'm dropping a bomb on anyone. We realized very quickly that a lot of holiday horror gets a little bit obscure the deeper you go. We'll end up in a lot of B horror movie territory, so we wanted y'all to be able to talk about movies that you knew. But we also want you to be vocal. If there's a movie that we missed tonight, we limited ourselves to 10, and then we want to open the floor for people to... I know, Charlie, I know which one you're upset with me for. But we want y'all to be able to be vocal about what movies we might have missed, and throw out suggestions for the holidays and winter horror. So
let's start a new segment for the live events, and it's what did we do to piss Charlie off? So that's going to be a new segment.
Just
coming in 2025. Charlie gets a segment.
Yeah, next live event, I want a list from every person that's at this event. What has Kevin done to piss you off? I'll take the credit.
Call it
nothing,
Charlie.
We already know your trivia is too easy or too hard. We already know that. There's no in between. But aside from that, you haven't done too much fuckery yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Cool.
Not yet.
So, yeah, not yet. Not yet. Give him time. But, so episode one, we are going to do another classic tier maker episode, which is levels of holiday fear. Get it?
That's right, we're spreading holiday fear.
So we've got the 10 movies that we picked to talk about tonight, and we're going to put those bad boys in their various tiers based on how much fear they give off for winter slash the holidays. So if they're scary, they're going to go in the top tier, which is Here's Johnny. If they're kind of meh, we'll put them in Never Feed Him After Midnight. And if it's not really bringing the holiday fear, this year there will be no leftovers.
So
it's going to be fun. But before we do that, just be vocal. What movies come to mind for your holidays and winter? We can raise hands or just shout them out. Which ones come to your mind before we talk about our 10?
Black Christmas.
Just the original or every single one?
Neo.
Yes.
That is on our list. You're in luck.
Frosty.
Which one?
Frosty.
Hell yeah. Charlie, you wanna throw yours out?
Santa Jaws.
Santa Jaws.
Literally, the poster is a shark with a Christmas, with a Santa hat on it.
I'm watching that tonight.
What you got?
Krampus.
Yeah.
Krampus made the list.
Hell yeah.
Jack Frost. Better watch out.
Yep. Jack Frost, I heard.
I love these. Good. Now we have a watch list. Y'all just made our contents for next holiday episode.
Yes.
Next year. Perfect. Thank you, guys.
All right, well, let's go into the 10 movies that we picked for tonight. And again, it is by audience decision where they go. So be vocal. We are recording right now, so if you're vocal, you're live on MTP and people will hear what you have to say. So there you go.
Oh, sheet. The original who said that quote is right here, Ashley the Ghost.
That's
from
right.
Don't Bury the Dead, the horror movie debuting at some point when it finishes.
Well, we can talk about that towards the end of the night
for sure.
Oh, we should
talk about that. All right, what's the first movie we're talking about?
You're Welcome, Autumn, because it is Black Christmas, 1974.
The OG. So in true CAF fashion, guess when I watched this, y'all? Today.
Last morning.
While I was working, I'm just typing reports. It's in the background the whole time. I love that movie. I wasn't expecting from watching the trailer or anything to the way that it was filmed, the point of view of the killer, and how it's still just by the end, it still feels so, so mysterious. I thought it was wonderful mixed in with the Christmas. The sorority house classic. It had Margot Kidder, who is frickin' Lois Lane with Christopher Reeve. So I was taken right back to Christopher Reeve. So I was, as soon as I saw her face, I love this movie. Done, sold. So I really, really enjoyed it. So thank you for putting this on the list.
Yeah, this is actually I've started a new tradition where on Christmas Eve, I watch this movie while wrapping my presents. It is absolutely terrifying. And very unique in that you never find out who the killer is.
Just someone called Billy.
He just has obscene phone calls where he calls himself Billy, and he, you don't see his face, they never catch him, and you don't know anything about him, and he's still there.
You see an eyeball, a very haunting eyeball of his, through the crack.
Yes, it is terrifying. And fun fact about this movie that I found out in the last few years, there's another classic horror movie that this was, this Black Christmas OG movie was the inspiration for. Does anybody know?
Halloween.
That's right.
Makes total sense.
So this movie, you talked about the POV shots, Jules.
Yeah.
John Carpenter saw the movie and was so in love with it that he asked the director, would you ever make a sequel? And he said, I'm not planning to make one, but if I ever did make one, it would be they catch Billy and he breaks out of an insane asylum on Halloween and kills babysitters. And he's like, well, you're not going to make that. I'm going to make that. And so we got Halloween thanks to Black Christmas. So Black Christmas is very underrated.
And talking about, like, prolific horror series, John Saxon from A Nightmare on Elm Street is once again a cop in this movie. He is so typecast. He's an amazing cop. So if you love Freddy Krueger, just watch it for that. He's an amazing actor and the perfect cop.
And also Olivia Hussey from the original It, 1990. She appears in a lot of different things. And she's a great final girl. Final girl with a question mark, though, because if you see the ending, maybe.
Debatable.
So what tier are we going to put Black Christmas in? No, the top tier is Here's Johnny. The middle is Never Feed Him After Midnight. The bottom is This Year There Will Be No Leftovers.
Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny. Yeah. Is there any debate on that?
Let's not upset Charlie this early in the night. Let's just put it up there.
All right.
It goes to Ray.
We are putting Black Christmas in Here's Johnny, so that is bringing lots of holiday fear. Our second movie, anybody ever heard of Gremlins?
Yes!
Not at all?
No.
Well, I actually know. I've seen it. Whoa!
So, funny story. If you listen to MTP, you'll realize that there's a lot of classic movies that I didn't see until way later in my life. I actually saw this for the very first time on my birthday 5 years ago. My dad and I went to the theater to see it on the big screen. That was my first watch of Gremlins.
That's pretty epic, though.
It was
on the
awesome.
Big screen, like, reliving it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just for airing. That's amazing. Well, I haven't seen it either in quite some time since I was a kid, so revisiting it over the past week. Damn, it's Christmassy. Like, it has top to bottom every which way. I was, like, taking notes. I was like, there's presents, caroling, shopping, lights, cookies, music. It was like every single fucking thing about Christmas is represented in that movie. And then you have fucking Gremlins on top of it. Like, this, to me, top tier. Because top to bottom, Christmas. Really fucking scary. The mom fighting the gremlins in the kitchen, and she was a badass. Damn. Give it up for mom.
What'd you say, Laura?
I'm not sure.
I can see her.
I feel like
will someone refer to their pocket computer? I have my notes pulled up otherwise. It's funny, I write down a lot of names, like I wrote down Zach Galligan, who plays Billy again. How many movies the lead fucking character on this list is Billy in some capacity? Like, that is a popular name.
And plug for Spooky Empire, Zach Galligan was just at Spooky Empire when they were here.
Yep, and how about Phoebe Cates from Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Woo!
And then you have Steven Spielberg as an executive producer.
We've got a... Corey Feldman's in there too, right?
Yep, and Judge Reinhold from The Santa Claus, so even more Christmas. And you've got to, I loved the character of Miss Deagle. She was Miss Gulch to a T. Little dog. Like, as soon as she went for the little dog, I was like, oh, this is a Gulch character. And sure enough, go back and watch this when y'all can, and you will see the similarities with Miss Gulch from The Wizard of Oz. It was clearly motivated by that character. So that was super fun.
So, tier for Gremlins. Remember, this is holiday fear, so are you scared by Gremlins is the question.
That's terrifying. They're terrifying.
Yeah, this movie is pretty gruesome.
Y'all, if they get wet, they multiply endlessly. That's terrifying. No one needs to multiply that quickly.
But even as a kid...
We're pissing Charlie off.
No, I'm offering debate.
Okay. That's what we're here to do.
And even as a kid, and I unfortunately can say I saw this originally. Even as a kid, you have to say that the rules make no sense whatsoever.
The rules, no bright light, the sun will kill. No water, don't feed after midnight. I took strict notes. I was like, if I'm ever in this situation, I'm prepped.
So how far after midnight? And in which time zone after midnight?
Should we get Joe Dante on the line?
Yeah, I just... it's...
Joe Dante, Chris Columbus, we need to talk to you.
That is a good point, though, because we're evaluating the scariness of it as well. I was just fixating on Christmas like a whore. Mm-hmm. So bringing that in, I can see lowering it.
So I love it. And it is it's a Christmas movie, and it's spooky.
Yeah.
But never feed them out. I will give you middle level.
It's very accurate
it's
based
very
on
accurate
that.
It's very accurate on that. But even as a kid.
The middle.
If Autumn says it. I don't
want to
piss Adam off either.
Let's put it to a vote. Who here is for Here's Johnny?
Me!
Sorry, I've been swayed.
Swayed. So Sky and Mickey say Here's Johnny. How about Never Feed Him After Midnight?
I do.
All right. It's accurate, though. How about that? It's tagline. All right, Krampus is up next.
I'm obsessed with this movie. I really am. I love it.
Two words, Toni Collette.
Oh my gosh, all I have under Krampus are the words Toni Collette on my phone. That's all you need to know. Watch the movie.
Toni Collette, Adam Scott.
Literally it.
Killer Gingerbread Man.
Even with the silliness of it all, because it's so funny, it's definitely a horror comedy, Krampus is still terrifying.
Yes.
He's absolutely fucking terrifying when he's jumping from house to house and you hear the chains and it's beast-like and you know he's coming for you and you can't fucking escape.
His howl that he does when he's jumping on her.
Oh my gosh.
Terrifying. Yes.
The Jack in the Box.
Amazing practical effects, too, with all the monsters.
That's one of my favorite parts of this movie, is that it still was leaning into practical effects. So if you guys missed that, this is a newer movie. It's about 9 years old that leans into that quite a bit.
And this director knows his holiday horror director/writer because Michael Dougherty, who did Krampus, also gave us Trick or Treat.
Oh, that was a good little nugget as well. Another one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Also, side note, this particular movie, Krampus 2015, was a haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights, which is the biggest haunted house, in the world, essentially, down there in Orlando. So I've watched it on YouTube many times like a nerd, and I'm mad that I didn't go that year. But it was before I got the Universal bug, so I have to be gentle with myself.
That's a really good question. I'm still torn on this to this day. So the question was, how do we interpret the end of Krampus, where Krampus visits the family and sends most of the family down to some sort of portal, and then he puts Max, the main character, in there. And at the end, they look very happy, celebrating Christmas morning, but then they realize that it's like a bell, right? The Krampus leaves.
They're in a snow globe. They're trapped in a snow globe, repeating Christmas, essentially, forever.
And the question is Krampus just watching over them, or did he trap them in a snow globe because there's snow globes everywhere? That's what I lean towards.
And it's rough because you sort of think at the end the kids repented.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines from that movie is, "Screw you, Dad does not wish we were boys."
Yeah, I would say that it's probably more of a sad ending just because of where they all were in their relationships. It wasn't really a high point. Like, for me, if I had to relive Christmas morning every day with Mickey, I'd be pretty happy, right? But these people, I know. It's just the truth. We just got lesbian lover tattoos, so whatever. But because of where they were not in a place of peace at all. None of them are at peace with each other. So I think finding that while trapped in a snow globe, it's probably not going to be the easiest thing to do. I wish them the best. But I have a little bit more. I think it's a little sad at the end.
It's yeah, terrifying. It's like you're, it's a nightmare.
Right? It's like you're with your family forever, but you're reliving the. That's a way to keep the Christmas spirit up, is relive Christmas over and over again. Jules, where would you put this one?
Here's Johnny.
I love it so, so much, but with the comedy element, I'm kind of leaning towards the mid tier for this.
Yeah, same.
It still has super scary elements, but compared to like Black Christmas, where there is a deranged killer murdering sorority girls, I feel like it's a tear down from that.
Okay, so never feed them after midnight?
Yep.
Does anybody have any opposition to that?
No, I think it's scary. It's very scary. The whole idea of Santa Claus in and of itself is scary. I had panic attacks as a kid thinking about Santa Claus.
A man breaking into your family.
Yes, exactly. And then now he's
a demonic
creature that makes all your favorite things evil. Yep.
It is pretty, okay, so.
And then to wake up and know that you're stuck for all eternity, reliving this?
Nikki's selling me, so I'm leaning towards Here's Johnny. We have a mid-tier. Let's put it to a vote. Here's Johnny.
Right.
Well, oh, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm gonna be on the couch.
Yes, you are.
Never feed him after midnight. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, jeez.
What is this? Does this count as?
Is there anybody here for this year there will be no leftovers, or are we... Okay.
Bottom!
I was like, if we get four again, this is going to suck. Okay. I don't know. We never have we never are tied this way.
I can settle for the middle, certainly.
I'll switch my vote.
Are you going up or down?
You're going
to go to
Here's
Johnny?
Let's go up, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, rounding up.
Woo!
Because trick-or-treat is so crazy.
It is.
It is. Yep.
It's so good.
All right. Krampus goes in. Here's Johnny. The next one is Misery.
Ooh. So I thought I hadn't seen this, and then we started watching. I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen this. I've seen it. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Kathy Bates.
What'd you say, Robert?
This is winter and holiday horror. So some of these are more geared towards snow and winter, which is why we're digging into the fear-based aspect of it.
I did just realize that our first three were all Christmas movies. So
we do have more non-Christmas movies.
We do. This was another one I saw late in life, but this movie scared the shit out of me. Kathy Bates as Annie is unbelievable.
Yes.
Winter.
Oh, winter. Okay. Here's Johnny.
One word. Hobbling.
Oh.
That whole movie, you're about to have a damn panic attack, like, the entire time when he's sneaking out of the room and all that. It's horrifying, and just kudos to Kathy Bates. I mean, everything she's ever touched has been absolute gold. If you love her in horror, check out American Horror Story. There will be a season for you somewhere in there. Not all of them are for everyone, but, I mean, she's just absolutely... It's worth watching that show just for her and the other actors on the show. And it's queer as fuck, y'all. Very, very queer.
One of the kind of creepy scenes in this one is when her pig comes in to Paul's bedroom, and then she's also oinking like a pig. Like, it's like funny but also kind of terrifying.
It's absolutely terrifying, and I mean, really, think of how easy that is for celebrities to have fans like that. And, the fact that she was actually watching him, too, at the hotel and everything. So it wasn't just happenstance, I'm obsessed with fans. It was true stalking. True stalking. And then she beasted him out of the car, like, whoo, you don't want to fuck with that lady.
No.
And she killed the sheriff.
She did, yep. Yeah, the unhinged scene where she comes in and then realizes that Paul's going to kill Misery in the next book, and the lights are out, and she's like, how could you? Like, whoa. Stress levels. Where do we put this one?
Here's Johnny. Oh, yeah.
And you know why that's so bad, too? It's so long and drawn out. Like, the torturing of it all. You know? It's really terrifying.
I think one of the worst things is he's healed.
Yeah.
Oh, the famous scene where she broke him again after the healing.
And she was so calm, and then she's done it. God, I love you.
Whoa! Yep.
Is there any opposition to Misery going in Here's Johnny?
Absolutely none. Oh,
all right, now let's go into some B-movie territory. Silent Night, Deadly Night.
So I watched this, guess when? Today, while I was working, there's a theme, yep, in the background. I definitely work from home. I totally really work, guys, I promise. But there is a free version of this on YouTube, and it is a recording of a VHS. So I really was transported. It was so shitty, and I loved it.
What year is it?
So the year of the upload, or the year of the video? I have no idea. I was just, it's like VHS recording.
Oh, no, I was just thinking like the Jumanji scene. What year is it? We're watching it on a VHS bootleg.
But yeah, so please watch it that way. If y'all, it's free and it's fucking a horrible quality and you're right there in 1984. Yeah, I was so happy with it. And it's really sad. It is really sad. So it's essentially about this little boy who observes his parents be killed right around Christmas by a Santa Claus character. Someone, or you know, a criminal who's dressed as Santa. So this leads to a lifelong trauma, obviously, surrounding Christmas and Santa. And then he ends up at his first job having to play Santa Claus. It was a toy shop, and he was starting more as like what, a stalker, probably someone who like what stalks the shelves, maybe.
Yeah.
And then they needed a Santa, so they put him as Santa, and that flipped a switch when he became Santa. So he started terrorizing the toy company, and then it expanded past that. So it's really sad because it's this little boy who lost his parents violently. And was an orphan his whole life.
And he's also abused at the orphanage, too.
Yep, he's abused by Mother Superior. Surprise, surprise, abusing a child.
Yeah, so this this movie, very, very, very low budget. It's under $1 million. I think it was like $750,000, if that. It was pulled from theaters after like 1 or 2 weeks because it was so controversial.
Yeah, the news.
The
news reports about this movie, the free advertising they got was...
Yeah, parents were upset because they did not like seeing Santa Claus portrayed as an axe murderer.
Yeah.
so
it was...
But,
Siskel and Ebert did like a whole episode.
They devoted an episode to how horrible this movie was, and Hollywood should be ashamed of themselves.
So,
yeah.
This movie is very sad, very cheesy at the same time, though. The killer, also named Billy, which is funny.
We have like 3 Billys on the bus.
He runs around, and whenever he goes to kill someone, he just very dramatically goes, "Punish! Punish!"
And that's from Mother Superior. That's what she was saying back in the day. So it's really psychologically very sad.
Now, that being said, I was never scared by this one, though. When you dive under the layers, it's scary to think about, but, like, on the surface, first watch, it never scared me.
No, it wasn't super scary. I was able to do my reports while I was watching it pretty easily. So,
I think this is our first one that's in this year. There will be no leftovers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's too.
Let's do it.
No opposition to that? All right. Worth a watch, though, and... a plug for our beloved Terrace Theater, because some of us just went and saw Friday the 13th Part 5, best Friday the 13th, Charlie. I'll piss you off on that one. Their double feature that night was Silent Night, Deadly Night. So if you have not been to any of their Terrorvision events, get tickets and go. They're amazing.
And the double feature is always something wild. Completely wild and off the wall. It was worth it.
All right, this next one, a little bit of a deep cut. This was one that Jules introduced me to. It is called Silent Night. It's a Netflix film from 2021 starring Keira Knightley. Anybody ever seen this one?
If you're fucked up, you're probably going to like this movie. It's fucked up, top to bottom, every which way. It's just dark, dark, dark comedy where you go, should I be laughing? This is really fucked up, but I'm laughing. And then you hate yourself a little bit because you realize how broken and fucked up you are. But then you accept that. And you're like, I love this movie and I love my fucked up broken self. So it was a whole experience for me.
Should we give any details? details of the plot of this one, or is it better for people to go in blind?
Let's talk about the people. Keira Knightley. Hello. Done. Sold. Elizabeth Swann, right? And then Matthew Good. I love him. He's from A Discovery of Witches, which we're watching right now. Also a very great show. He plays a sexy vampire. Come on. But it's basically kind of like an end of the world type, an apocalyptic-ish horror movie, how I would describe it. Everyone knows the end is coming, and the government gave out exit pills. So you can pill yourself when you're ready to do so, when shit's about to hit. So everyone's trying to wait till the end, right when the world's about to end, to peacefully take their exit pill. So it's already dark. Y'all know it's already dark just from that. Essentially, do you want to go in? You've seen it a lot more recently than me.
I watched this one yesterday. This was deeply upsetting. It is very funny, like, especially in the beginning. But by the end, you're like, oh my god, like, my heart is getting ripped out of my chest by... Because essentially, this family is celebrating their last Christmas. So when you look at it through that lens and you're like aware of what's coming, you're like, it gives that song a dark meaning.
If you're dark and twisted like me, you'll love it.
But it's a really good movie, so like high recommend for this one.
So they basically think they're little boy guys.
Yeah.
And they're all taking their damn exit pill, and guess who wakes up after?
And right at the end, too. So
he's the kid wakes up and is not dead, but his whole family sure as hell is now.
He's
and
gonna, Billy?
He's going to wake up to us.
I don't remember the kid's name, but we'll call him Billy. We'll call him. To us, he's our Billy. This movie didn't really scare me. It didn't scare me. I think it's, again, if you like dark and twisted shit, if you like black, dark as fuck comedy, you will like this. If you don't like that, you will not like this movie. So it didn't really scare me, but I just love it from that point of view. I think it's beautiful. I think it's artistic. I think it's diverse. So I do love the movie, but I would probably put it in the lower tier.
The bottom one?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, it sounds like, is that pretty, you know, I know, if you haven't seen it, no worries. I recommend it to be watched, though. But do we have any opposition to it going at the bottom? All right. So, let's go to our friend Art the Clown with Terrifier 3.
This is all you.
I
have not seen it, and we're not going to do spoilers.
No, no,
we're not
no
doing spoilers. When movies are this new, we do not give spoilers. When they're like 50 years old, we're like, sorry guys, you've had 50 years to watch this movie, right? But we're not going to do spoilers for this. But just a side note, I told Kevin I wasn't going to watch this one because just in the past 2 months, I finally watched the first Terrifier. I finally did. I've been building up to it because I'm not the biggest fan of real, real gory stuff. So I've been building up to it. So I really enjoyed it. I just love, honestly, the story behind the Terrifier team more than anything. They're such wonderful people. But the movie's great. It's super low budget. It's so motivating for people like us who are part of the film community now, making very, very, very low budget. Like, Terrifier's budget was high compared to our budget, right? Yeah. So I really enjoyed the movie. Art the Clown is probably going to be up there with Freddy Krueger and some of these other majors, so it's really cool to see a new icon born. So I'm still in my journey. I'm taking my time to get through the other two. But this movie, I wanted to let Kevin talk about. But I did want to mention Dan Roebuck is in this movie, Terrifier 3, and I'm in touch with him. He was at Spooky Empire again this year, and he's willing to do potentially a terrorist thing. So he was Santa in this, I believe, but I'll let you. So that's the segue into Terrifier 3.
Yeah, so no spoilers for this one, because I know it's still new. The movie's great. It is basically 120 minutes of just over-the-top, disgusting gore, which is every Terrifier movie.
Yes,
and every movie in the franchise has one scene where they go that extra mile. So I watched the first Terrifier not knowing that, and just went in blind, having heard nothing, and was like, oh, shit. And then this one continues that trend. And you might be wondering why it's here, but it's a Christmas movie. Art the Clown is dressed up as Santa the whole time. And it's just crazy, over the top, and weird mythology. that they unravel about Bart the Clown, who's seemingly unkillable for some reason, but they give some more backstory where you're like, the hell? It's playing on Christmas Eve and Christmas, I believe. So if you want to see it in a theater, go check it out.
I think this is going to be top tier. I haven't even seen it, but going off of the first one, that was pretty fucking terrifying.
I'm not even seeing it myself. Yeah,
it's not scary in the sense of like jump scares or like boo type things, but the gore is deeply, deeply disturbing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Torture porn, right?
What? What'd you say?
It's like torture porn, like Saw.
Sort of. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I'm good with it going, and here's Johnny. I'm assuming we have some people that have seen the other Terrifier movies, so we can probably all agree, right? No, Robert? Have you watched them and you don't like them?
I watched the third one.
Just the third one? Oh, wow, that would be very, very strange to go into. All right. Well, we'll put it in. Here's Johnny. We'll give Terrifier 3 a recommend.
Art's an icon.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna go back a holiday with Thanksgiving from last year.
So Nikki and I went. We finally said we're staying the fuck home for Thanksgiving. Okay. At the age of 34, we finally did that. We stayed home in Charleston. And we went to see this movie on Thanksgiving Day at Citadel Mall. Sorry, Terrace, we wanted to lay back and recline and popcorn. So we went to Citadel Mall. And I fell in love with that movie. John Carver, obviously not up there with like top tier icons, but another like lower level horror icon, I think, especially with them making a sequel for this.
Mm-hmm.
But good old fashioned, I love that we have a Thanksgiving holiday horror movie now. Yes. It's so fun. And I know there's probably some other Z-list Thanksgiving movies. There's gotta be some out there.
Thanksgiving with rubber killer turkey.
Yes, where they come to the door and it's silly. And the daughter thinks it's her father wearing the turkey, though their father has turkey.
It is literally a rubber turkey that goes around killing people. There's a scene where, I've never seen it, but I know this scene.
Yes.
The turkey kills a girl's boyfriend and he takes his position when they're having sex and then has sex with the girl from behind. And when he's done, he goes, "You just got stuffed." Yep, and you know what's crazy is there are multiple of these.
There's a fan base, guys. That means there's a fan base.
Speaking of gore, though, this movie also has a scene that
should we talk about the turkey scene?
I'll let you take this. This one made me.
The human turkey scene. So, I mean, they had to go there, guys. It's a fucking Thanksgiving horror movie. Yes, somebody was cooked. Somebody was cooked, just like a turkey. And that's what should have happened in that movie.
With the thermometer plugged into her shoulder,
everything,
too.
Yep, ready to go, ready to carve. And they served her on the table with her family.
Yes.
Having to indulge.
That's what's weird is that the oven scene was disturbing, but when they carved a piece of her leg off and then tried to serve it to the people, I was like,
and this is how we spent Thanksgiving Day.
You know, we have a bestie memory that way because I texted you. I also saw it on Thanksgiving.
You got jealous.
I did get
you
jealous.
I was like, we saw Thanksgiving. And then he was like, well, guess who's going now? Same day.
Yes.
Fine. But no, it is our tradition now. Thanksgiving, you know it's going to have to come out in November again. Mm-hmm. So Thanksgiving 2, highly recommend you go fuck you to your obligations and go to the movie. Fucking just do it time and feel the freedom.
And this is also where that tagline this year, "There will be no leftovers," came from. So
this movie is terrifying. For me, it's got to at least be a level of the orange, if not the red, at least the orange. It's, for nothing else, the turkey scene.
Has anybody seen it? Where would you put it?
I honestly would say the top tier, just for the opening scene of
the Black Friday scene.
The store to open, and you guys will get your waffle irons, calm down. But no, that is the most horrifying thing.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
The Black Friday shopping and how intense it is.
It's true. Thank you for bringing that up because it really is a true horror, guys. It's talking about capitalism and how we're willing to fucking trample people for stupid shit. So really, I love when artists bring that into their movies, their shows, just kind of showcasing how shitty we are. We need to see that and adjust our behavior. So thanks for bringing that up.
Charlie's calling for a timeout.
Timeout. If it starts on Black Friday, then is it filmed out of sequence?
Well, no. It's the end of Thanksgiving Day. They're finishing dinner to go to a sale that starts at midnight.
Yes.
So,
and it goes through to the next Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I mean.
No, but that's a good. Or I have seen that trailer. That's a good thing to bring up.
Yes.
Robert, do you wanna talk about it?
I love Grindhouse. The Thanksgiving trailer is Grindhouse one of my favorite things about the experience. And I think it was 2008 or 2009. So I had a long time to dream up what the Thanksgiving
was
like before it actually came out.
So where are we going to put this one?
I'm fine with middle tier, honestly.
Let's do orange.
You want to go orange?
Let's do orange.
All right. I'm going to save the next one for last. So we're gonna jump to the next one behind it, which is Violent Night.
Violent Night came up when I look up horror holiday movies, this came up, and then I go to watch it, I'm like, this is a fucking comedy, an action comedy. It's still fucking amazing. It's definitely not horror, but highly recommend it.
It might as well be, because it is brutal.
It is brutal, ew.
We're talking about the upsetting scenes, the nail.
The nail, yeah.
Yes.
That I won't ruin it, just watch it. It's worse than the nail in the foot in Home Alone.
This movie is fantastic.
It is, it's really well done.
Amazing.
And they're making a second one. I think David Harbour just said they rapped on it.
Oh, really?
And David Harbour is from Stranger Things. If y'all love Stranger Things, give it a watch just for David.
Hell yeah. That being said, though, you did hit the nail on the head that it's an action movie, so I feel we put it on here because we want to talk about it, but I feel like it has to go in the bottom.
Yeah.
As much as I
heart on the sleigh.
No leftovers. All right, we saved one of the best for last, The Shining.
Oh my God, I'm so terrifying.
Don't worry, Charlie, I'll put a pin in that.
Okay,
you don't want to just start there?
Sure.
All right, so Charlie has beef with me because The Shining, don't kill me, everybody. The Shining is one that I did not see until 2020, if you can believe it or not.
Wow, that's fine.
I saw the woman
It's in Dave! Red. Everybody, it's Dave! Hey.
My name.
He's Laura's man. Obviously, he gets an introduction. Obviously. Sorry to interrupt.
All good. But I saw the woman in room 237 scene as a kid and ran out of that room screaming. And then I watched it at somebody's house, but I was interested in the person, so I wasn't really paying attention to the movie. It was just on in the background.
It happened.
So then 20,
that happens.
Yeah, so then 2020 was when I finally watched it. And it's a great movie, but the reason Charlie has beef with me is because I actually prefer Dr. Sleep over The Shining.
Oh, no!
We all have beef with Kevin right now.
No!
Charlie, bring your signs to the next event. Yeah. We're boycotting or protesting
Justice
this podcast.
All right, hey, I'm with you right here.
Oh, it's Mike Flanagan. What can I say?
Oh, okay.
It's Mike Flanagan.
I understand why you have to go that way, then.
I do. It's Mike Flanagan, Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson.
Ewan McGregor.
Don't go to the dark side.
You can.
I haven't seen this.
It's fun here, Mickey. We can. Dr. Sleep. The sequel to The Shining. And it's Ewan McGregor. It's directed by Mike Flanagan.
I just can't imagine anything beating that.
Let's do a best movie night. We'll watch Dr. Sleep.
Movie night.
Woo! Alright, but let's talk about The Shining. That's why we're here, right?
R.I.P. Shelley Duvall.
Oh,
R.I.P.
Yes.
Her performance in this movie, extremely underrated. She is a phenomenal actress.
Absolutely.
I'm devastated for her whenever I watch The Shining, honestly.
Yeah, look into the history of the filming with all of that, what she endured on set. There's a lot of darkness to that movie. And also, I want to give it up for the ash on her cigarette in that one scene.
That's,
wow.
That's the most stressful part
wow.
of the
movie.
That
best there's, extra in that entire movie.
There's toys of Wendy that come with an extra long cigarette. seeing that woman in room 237 scene and then watching it, it's still fucking terrifying.
The twins,
yep. An underrated moment, it's actually a little bit of a jump scare, is when Jack comes out and acts as Dick Halloran when he comes through the lobby and he lets out that scream. Shivers.
Also, side note, this was also a haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights that Nikki and I got to go. You hadn't seen it yet when we went through this, but you go in, when you walk in to start the haunted house, it is the hotel. The face of the hotel. And it's snowing. So guys, if you have not done Halloween Horror Nights, it's fucking expensive like any theme park. Please splurge one year. Wait for a year when it has some of your favorite properties. They do about 50-50. They do original houses, and then the other half of them are intellectual properties. They did Blumhouse. They do Blumhouse every year. We had the Black Phone last year. I mean, they do everything. We've done Saw, Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, they've had everything there. It's an amazing event. Highly recommend it.
All right. I feel like I know where this is going to go, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Top.
The Shining. Yes.
Yes.
Top tier.
Yeah.
All right.
And Johnny was, when we did our horror theme show, Rocky Horror, Johnny was Brad.
Yep.
So Amanda was playing Brad, and we actually built her a door, and for the horror show, she popped through the door at the end. High budget, y'all.
My initial idea of when we were trying to think of how to dress for tonight as the co-host, I initially threw out we should go as Jack and Wendy Torrance.
But I need time for that.
Yeah,
same. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's a cosplay you want to do to the nine.
Should we flip it? Should you be Jack and I'll be Wendy?
Yes!
Let's be honest, I'm more of the nine. We all know it.
2025, you guys will get it.
Yes.
But that's the end of Levels of Holiday Fear Tear Maker. Thank you, everybody. We got a lot more coming at you for the rest of the evening, so stick around. But this is the Midnight Terrors Podcast. We love you all. See you in a bit. Woo!